Hallo und herzlich willkommen zur allerersten Episode von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra Michel.
Und ich bin Elias Merkel.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch ermutigen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit zu erleben. Sei es im Rahmen eines Auslandssemesters, einer Summer School oder auch eines kompletten Studiums im Ausland.
Für unsere erste Episode haben wir uns mit Jenny Akune von der University of California Berkeley Extension einen ganz besonders tollen Premierengast eingeladen. Die UC Berkeley gilt als eine der besten Universitäten der Welt und ist derzeit auch die am höchsten gerankte Hochschule, mit der wir hier bei College Contact zusammenarbeiten. Der Ruf und die Rankingplatzierung sind für viele von euch ein wichtiger Faktor bei der Wahl der Hochschule für euer Auslandssemester. Neben anderen wichtigen Kriterien wie der Lage, dem Kursangebot und den zu erwartenden Kosten.
Wir haben mit Jenny unter anderem darüber gesprochen, was den Reiz eines Auslandssemesters an einer echten Elite-Universität ausmacht, warum es an der UC Berkeley gleich 4 Semesterprogramme gibt und wie ihr bei der Bewerbung mit eurem Motivationsschreiben so richtig glänzen könnt. Los geht's! Hi Jenny, welcome to our podcast. We're excited that you're able to join us here today.
Great to see you both, and I'm looking forward to talking today.
We're here to talk about opportunities for international students to spend a semester at UC Berkeley. But before we do, let's talk a little bit about Berkeley as an institution. Around the world, Berkeley is known not only for its excellent teaching and its world-class research, but also for being a hotbed of innovation and a driver of social change. During my research for this podcast, I stumbled upon the title of a video published on the UC Berkeley website that read, "What happens at Berkeley isn't magic. It just feels that way." Jenny, how would you describe this magic of Berkeley that people feel to our listeners?
Well, I think this magic at Berkeley really is that Berkeley is an environment for academics where they have this possibility, opportunity to make positive change in the world. You know, Berkeley is a public university built for the people by the people, but the legacy of the university has really been untraditional excellence. So this is to do better, to do good, to advance social equity. The tradition is that Berkeley is constantly questioning the status quo. It is known for student activism and the free speech movement in the 1960s. I think at Berkeley, faculty and students have been taking on some of the world's biggest challenges since it was founded about 150 years ago.
And how do students feel that magic in their day-to-day lives at Berkeley?
I think it's exposure to other students that also are interested in positive change. It's in the classroom with faculty that are pushing them and advancing them academically to think beyond. That's really why students sort of feel that. It's the students in the classroom alongside them and the teacher, instructor, faculty member that is leading these classes.
And do you feel that this magic is infectious? Do you think that students who come to Berkeley for just one semester are going to take some of that magic home with them?
Oh, absolutely. I think in our central campus area, we have special parking reserved for Nobel Prize winners. That's pretty darn inspiring to walk by something that, you know, represents one of the highest prizes for innovative thinking in a subject area. So I definitely think that that feeling is infectious. I think students from Germany will expand their minds, be exposed to new things, and come back really energized about their experience.
To me, it sounds really interesting that students profit from the exposure to that environment by just being there and taking in the Berkeley experience. I was also wondering if there's anything you would recommend to students on how to actively engage at Berkeley and perhaps contribute to that environment. As you may know, our podcast is called Beste Zeit, which roughly translates to time of your life. So I guess my question is, what are ways that a student can have the time of his or her life at Berkeley?
Well, it's a simple answer. Get involved. A student is going to have an amazing experience if they get involved in as many aspects of student life as they can. Berkeley's student life is really dynamic. We have 1,200 registered student organizations. That's a great way to get involved. These could have an academic focus, be focused on community service. I mean, you name it, theater, dance, debate, recreational sports. Any of these organizations are a great way to get involved. We also have recreational sports on campus, so students can join an intramural sports team. I always encourage students to be really deliberate about trying to become friends with Berkeley students. The best place to meet Berkeley students is at Berkeley. You can hang out with students from your home country anytime you want, right? So, like, be deliberate, get to know American students. And then another way of getting involved is attending university events. There's university sports, theater, arts, music. There's just a lot going on the Berkeley campus, and a student is going to have a great experience if they get out there and they really just get involved.
Is there a way for students to learn more about the different clubs? I know that some universities have like a fair at the beginning of the semester where all the clubs and organizations present themselves. Does Berkeley have something like that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We have something called LEAD, LEAD. It's a website that is hosted by our student organizations. And you can look up any organization on that website. And then also is the listing of the times at the beginning of the semester where they do tabling outdoors and engage with students that want to join their organizations. So there's definitely ways for students to make those connections online and in person.
I just wanted to quickly touch on what you just said about student clubs and organizations, because that is something that we don't really have here in Germany, or at least not to that extent. It really is a great way to get in touch with domestic students for sure.
So I mentioned in the beginning that we were going to talk about opportunities for international students to spend a semester at UC Berkeley, which brings me to my next question. While other universities have one single semester abroad program for international students, Berkeley Extension has four of them. Jenny, can you tell us a little more about each one of them to help our listeners understand which program best fits their personal goals and interests?
Sure. So, as you mentioned, we have four programs. The first is more of a general studies for study abroad. Students have the opportunity to select their own courses in their subject area. So this is a program that's great for students that are studying the arts, sciences, math, the humanities, and engineering. The remaining three programs are subject specific. The first is called the Berkeley Haas Global Access Program. This is a great program for business and engineering students that are really interested in entrepreneurship, innovation, and technology. The next is our Legal Studies Global Access Program. This is a great fit for law or legal studies students, students that are studying sociology or history. And then the last is our Physics Program. It's Berkeley Physics International Education Program. This is a great fit for physics students that wish to study abroad and want sort of access to a top physics faculty and research experiences at Berkeley.
Let's talk about the Berkeley Haas Global Access Program for a moment. It's called Berkeley Haas because it's taught at the Haas School of Business at UC Berkeley, which is one of the top business schools in the country, if not the world. It's famous for being very entrepreneurial and for being deeply rooted in startup culture as well. Jenny, can you tell us what kind of courses students can take in this program and maybe share some of the topics or themes that it covers?
What makes this program so amazing is our proximity to Silicon Valley. So the Haas faculty have a lot of ties into that world of startups and companies, as you mentioned. The core courses for this program focus on things like design thinking, technology and entrepreneurship in Silicon Valley, innovative strategies for emerging technologies, that type of thing. We have electives in a number of areas as well, and these would be things like fintech, AI, financial engineering. So the core courses really focus on entrepreneurship and innovation, but students definitely have opportunities to study outside of that as well.
Is the program open to both undergraduate and graduate students, and do they take the same courses?
It is open to undergraduates and graduate students, but they are placed in two separate tracks. So the coursework is the same, but it would be a more advanced level for the graduate level students in the graduate track.
Right. So you mentioned the connections that that the Haas School of Business has with Silicon Valley and a lot of the startups and bigger companies there. How can students in the Berkeley Haas Global Access Program take advantage of those connections?
Well, actually built into the program, there's, I think, the opportunity for students to do between 4 and 6 site visits. These are built into the program. These are visits to startups as well as large companies in Silicon Valley. To be honest, this is the biggest value add of this program, is exposure to talking to leaders of emerging startups and large companies. You really can't get that kind of experience anywhere. It's an outside the classroom experience for these students that helps them get plugged in and understand this whole sort of startup ecosystem. And the Haas faculty have so many connections to this world that this is really the most sort of interesting and positive part of this program that I hear from students after they've completed.
So Jenny, besides the Berkeley Haas Global Access Program, you also mentioned the Legal Studies Global Access Program, or LSGAP. Can you tell us a little bit more about this program? You said it was open to students from different subject areas. Obviously, it's open for law students, but it's also a great fit for students who don't necessarily study law at their home university, but perhaps come from different backgrounds, such as sociology, history, or political science.
The reason that the program is good for students for all of those backgrounds is because the focus is obviously related to U.S. law and legal studies, but I think that the courses would be of interest to students that are studying something like sociology. So there's 3 core courses with this program. The first is actually U.S. Supreme Court and public policy. And in that course, they're learning about sort of famous U.S. Supreme Court cases. So this would be interesting to a student that's interested in comparative law. Another core course is called the Foundations of Legal Studies. And this is sort of looking at foundational frameworks and cross-disciplinary perspectives from sort of a social sciences viewpoint, all about legal studies and the study of law. And the last one is something called Law in Action. And it's looking at legal institutions that sort of comprise American society. And to sort of continue off of that, LSGAP offers students site visits. And so in thinking about legal institutions, they get to visit a court, they get to visit a law firm. We've even had the students visit a California state prison. So getting them exposed to legal institutions in the U.S. is a big part of this program.
I was actually quite excited when I first learned about this program because it finally gave us an opportunity to place German law students at a U.S. law school for a study abroad program. As you know, German students start their law degree straight after high school, whereas in the US, law and legal studies are usually only taught at the graduate level. So most US law schools cannot accept undergraduate students from abroad for a semester or two. Can you tell us a little more about how this program came about at Berkeley?
Yeah, sure. Legal studies, as you mentioned, is not taught at the undergraduate level in the United States, but Berkeley is very unique in that our law school does offer an undergraduate program in legal studies. So students that participate in this program are taking classes alongside legal studies majors. A lot of these students are aiming to go into the field of law, become lawyers. But yes, it's an entirely sort of unique experience because I think that there's maybe less than 5 universities in the United States that actually offer legal studies at the undergraduate level.
I think it sounds really awesome. I mean, I might be a little biased because I'm a political science graduate and US politics was one of my specializations. So I would have loved the program and I could imagine that other students here would really like it as well. I personally probably would not have enjoyed the Berkeley Physics International Educations program very much because physics, admittedly, was not one of my strong areas. Elias, I don't know about you, if you were a physics crack in high school. No?
Yeah, it wasn't my strong suit either.
But there are students for whom physics is their passion and who are really keen to go into academia to become researchers, maybe at some point win the physics Nobel Prize. And I could imagine for those students spending a semester at UC Berkeley could be a really great opportunity. So Jenny, I don't know how big your personal background in physics is, but can you tell students a little more about this program as well?
Yeah, no background in physics for me. So no, I can't say that I was ever a physics student myself, but I think we can all agree that for students that want to study abroad, there's probably less students that want to do this in the sciences simply because it's difficult to find a program that meets the academic rigor of their own institution. There's, you know, a few more requirements about what they're allowed to take and not allowed to take. So what makes this program really special is that it is a physics-focused study abroad program. It is housed in our physics department on the Berkeley campus, very highly ranked department. And it's specifically for physics students. They take only physics courses, and they are also given opportunities to attend workshops about graduate school, about a life of academia, if they want to move on and continue along the path of studying physics. They have the opportunity to visit research labs and be exposed to the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, which is affiliated with UC Berkeley. So this is just a unique experience for a physics student that wants an academically rich study abroad program specifically for them.
And I know that it's geared towards undergraduate students, so bachelor's level students, but I could imagine that this is a program that really will inspire students to pursue maybe graduate studies in the US as well.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned that for students in areas that we have not covered so far, there is another program that is more general or broad and that allows students to take courses from other subject areas that Berkeley offers. Can you tell us a little more about how that program works?
Sure. And I'll start out by saying that Berkeley has 350 degree programs. So the number of courses available to students on our campus is really sort of off the charts. But the most important thing about this program is that it's for students from a variety of majors, but it is not for business students. It is not for law or legal studies students, and it is not for physics students because we have specific programs for those audiences. So this is a great fit for students that are studying the arts, the sciences, mathematics, humanities, engineering, and it allows students to select their own courses from our course catalog. And students in this track need to be a little bit more flexible in that they, just have to make sure that they are looking ahead at what kind of courses they would want to take and choosing from a variety of courses, knowing that they will not be sort of secure in those courses until they come to campus and are on our campus for a couple of weeks. So this is actually a great fit in terms of exposure to so many interesting courses, but it is definitely for a student that has a little bit of flexibility in their schedule.
Okay. So for students who are open about the exact courses that they want to take, but who have maybe specific interests in certain subject areas, they can basically look at the catalog, choose, 10, 12 courses that they would be interested in, discuss them with their home university, and then come to campus and try to kind of look at each of those courses and hopefully enroll in 3 or 4 of them.
That's correct. And for this program, as part of the application, we ask students to identify courses that they're interested in so that the program advisor can give them feedback on their interests. And so a student will get feedback about the courses and availability for them in those courses prior to coming to campus. The advisors do a good job of managing the students' expectations so they can feel confident that they can get courses in specific subject areas upon arrival.
Great. That sounds good.
Thank you for giving us an overview of the different programs. We also wanted to talk to you a little bit about the admission requirements for these programs. Since UC Berkeley is such a prestigious and well-known university, students are often worried that it will be extremely difficult to get accepted into the programs, for instance, the BH Gap program, but also the other programs that you've just talked about. So can you share with us what the admission requirements are?
So the admissions requirements for all 4 of the programs are, for the most part, the same. There's like one slight difference. So the Berkeley Global Access program, that's for general studies, and the physics program, both of those programs require students to be finished 1 year of undergraduate studies when they begin the program. The other 2 programs, the one focuses on entrepreneurship and the other on legal studies, BH Gap or LS Gap, as they're fondly called, both of those programs require that students have 2 years of undergraduate study completed. But then from there, the requirements are the same for all programs. So we require a grade point average of 3 out of 4. We have an English language proficiency requirement of a TOEFL of 90 or equivalent. That would be the Dodd C1 level. And as for talking about the program itself and the application, we have something called the Statement of Purpose, which we require students to submit for all of our programs as well.
It's great that you mentioned the statement of purpose, because that's actually a part of the application that often feels a little daunting to our students. I know that essays or letters of motivation or statements of purpose are standard components of U.S. college applications, but they're a much less common requirement here in Germany. So many of our students might not have written one before ever, and especially not in English. Is there any advice that you can give them? What's the admission team looking for?
So the statement of purpose allows our admissions team to assess a student's understanding of the program that they are applying to and to share their reasons for wanting to study at Berkeley. And so really it's a chance for us to see, is the program you're applying for a good fit for you? So I think in terms of advice and tips, this is a great opportunity to show that you have strong writing skills. So write, edit, review, write, edit, review, you know, make sure the writing is strong. But another important thing is this is an opportunity to show sort of your individuality as a student. Everything else that gets reviewed by the admissions team is sort of on paper. It's your scores. This is your opportunity to say, this is the student that I am. This is why the program is a great fit for me, right? It's really their only opportunity to sort of shine as an individual. But then my last piece of advice really is answer the prompt, right? So when a student's asked to prepare a statement of purpose, there's usually a couple of questions in there, right? So if the question is something like, briefly describe the coursework or experience you believe has best prepared you to succeed as a student at Berkeley, right? Answer that question. What are your thoughts on that? Or if the question is, you know, explain your understanding of the program's requirements and the courses that you think will be eligible for you to apply as a student. You know, it's answer whatever is being asked of you. That's all that students really can do in order to put a great statement of purpose together. Strong writing, show your sort of individuality as a student, and just answer the prompt.
I think that's really good advice, not just for students interested in this program, but also for students interested in applying to university or college in the US in general.
Yes, definitely. And I just want to add really quickly for those who aren't familiar with the American GPA system. Jenny, you mentioned that students require a GPA of 3 out of 4. And for students who study in Germany and whose universities use a German grading system, this would roughly translate to a grade point average of 2.5 or better. But I also think it's interesting that, yeah, grades are certainly important when applying to one of these programs, but it's perhaps just as important for students, as you mentioned, Jenny, to write a convincing statement of purpose and showcase why a student is a great fit for Berkeley. And not just necessarily only in terms of academic achievements. And on that note, we also wanted to talk to you a little bit about what students can do outside the classroom in their free time at Berkeley. We all know that there's more to a semester abroad than just classes and assignments. So yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about what's there for students to do both on and off campus in Berkeley?
Sure. I mean, this really goes back to that earlier question about getting involved. On campus, there's tons of ways to get involved. I mentioned the student organizations. There really is just no end to the things you could join that would connect you with other students and give you an opportunity to get to know them better and really enrich your experience. But off campus, I mean, the San Francisco Bay Area just has so much to offer. This is an urban environment. It's really diverse. It's really beautiful and it's really fun. Students can explore Berkeley, which we call a college town. It's got over 200 restaurants from any number of different kinds of food that you would want to have. San Francisco is 20 minutes away on the train. There's so much sightseeing to be done there. You can visit Golden Gate Park, Golden Gate Bridge, visit the museums. If you're interested in seeing the Pacific coast, you can drive down the coast, you can walk on the beach, you can surf, you can kite surf. If you're interested in something like hiking, you have the Berkeley Hills in the immediate area, you have Marin County, which is north of Golden Gate Bridge, and you have the Lake Tahoe area that has skiing, hiking, water sports. And so really, I just say go out there and do as much as you can in the San Francisco Bay Area. But on top of that, travel. Travel within this area. Travel throughout California. I'm always amazed when I talk to a student that has studied abroad and they let me know the numerous things that they have done in, you know, the 4.5-5 months that they've been studying with us. They take advantage of every opportunity. And so I think that there's no end to the fun and exciting things you can do off our campus. It's really just getting out there and doing it.
I think it's great to know that despite the program being as rigorous as it is, students still have the time and the opportunity to do this. I guess if there's one thing that the students learn during the program is probably to improve on their time management skills so that they get to really enjoy both the academic side, but also travel and discover California while they're there. Looking at my watch, I've noticed that we're almost at the end of this episode, unfortunately. But before we wrap up, we have prepared a quick question round for you, if you're up for it.
Okay.
All right. So quick questions, quick answers. Here we go. Jenny, what is the best place on the Berkeley campus to grab a coffee between lectures?
Definitely Cafe Strada. It's right near our law school. It's all open air seating. And as you can imagine, the temperature outside in Northern California is like pretty much always nice and often sunny. So I just love that place for grabbing a coffee.
Okay. So if I ever come to visit or if Elias comes to visit, you'll have to take us there.
Oh, for sure.
Next question. What's your favorite building on campus?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I would have to say my favorite building on campus is the most recent construction of the Haas Business School. It is 8 stories high, and when you get to the top level, you can see the entire Bay Area and the Golden Gate Bridge. It's absolutely beautiful. And yeah, I think that that would have to be my favorite. It's a completely green building and green and sustainable building. And it just has an amazing view from the top.
Sounds fantastic. What's the one bookstore item that students need to buy as a gift for their friends back home?
Oh, I don't know. I think it really depends what your friends are interested in. I mean, me personally, I have this mini size Oski the Bear, which is our mascot at Berkeley. It's a cute little bear. And that to me is, it's kind of small, easy to pack in your suitcase, and it's wearing a little Berkeley shirt. So I have it sitting next to my monitor here, and it kind of reminds me of all the good things about Berkeley.
You actually brought us one when you came to visit last time, and I can see it from where I'm sitting right now. So this is definitely a good gift to give.
Great. I hope it makes you think fondly of Berkeley.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then finally, what 3 words would you use to describe the study abroad experience at UC Berkeley?
Academically challenging.
That's 2 words already.
That's correct. But I guess challenging doesn't sound positive, but I think it will push students academically. Another word I would use to describe the experience is engaging. It's definitely going to be something that captures the attention of students and keeps them sort of hooked and interested. And then I think that the best other word to describe the experience is fun. I mean, let's be honest, students are going to have the time of their life if they have the opportunity to come to Northern California and spend a semester of Berkeley. It's not all about academics. It's about life experience and growing personally. And these students are just going to have a whole lot of fun, and they're going to remember this experience for the rest of their lives.
I think that's the best way to conclude this episode that we could have hoped for. So, Jenny, thank you once again for joining us today. We've very much enjoyed talking to you, and we've learned a lot, and I hope our listeners have as well.
Yeah, it was really nice talking to you, Jenny. Thanks for doing this.
Have a great rest of your day, and take care.
Thanks. Take care.
Wir hoffen, euch hat unsere erste Podcast-Folge gefallen. Alle Infos zu UC Berkeley und den Semesterprogrammen, über die wir mit Jenny gesprochen haben, findet ihr im Hochschulprofil auf unserer Website, das wir euch in den Shownotes zu dieser Folge verlinken.
In den Shownotes findet ihr außerdem einen Link zu den Erfahrungsberichten ehemaliger Semesterstudentinnen und Studenten an der UC Berkeley. Auch wenn Jenny schon viele gute Tipps und Infos mit uns geteilt hat, bieten die Erfahrungsberichte euch nochmal einen Einblick aus erster Hand und sind daher für euch hoffentlich auch spannend zu lesen.
Zu guter Letzt findet ihr in den Shownotes auch unsere Kontaktdaten. Meldet euch also gern bei uns, wenn ihr Fragen zur UC Berkeley habt oder euch ganz generell zum Auslandsstudium informieren wollt. Unser Service ist für euch komplett kostenlos, weil wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Beratung und Bewerbungshilfe bezahlt werden.
Weiter geht's mit unserem Beste Zeit Podcast in wenigen Wochen. Abonniert uns gern, um keine Folge zu verpassen und empfehlt den Podcast gern auf euren Freundinnen und Freunden, die ebenfalls Lust auf ein Auslandssemester haben. Habt eine gute Zeit und bis bald!